This video is sponsored by Normandy 1998, Christopher Mitchell, 212th Trooper, Silas 1610, Carmen CJ, Rune Scribble, Legendary Ray Ray, Ash, Kitsu the Kitsune, Justice Dragor, and Arctic Ace, and brought to you by Ash, who requested this topic. If there is a video you want me to make, just head over to Patreon and become a channel member, and select the Pickle Producer tier, since among other benefits, you will get to make a video request every month, be it the continuation of an existing series or a brand new story. Now, before we get into today's video, I just want to ask you to do me a favor, hit that like button since it tells YouTube you like what I do, and check whether you're subscribed, since more than half of my viewers aren't, and it's a free way to keep up to date with all my content. In return, I'll do all I can to keep making regular quality content for you. Thanks, and let's hop in. The following morning, Ash rises before the sun, having not forgotten the promise he made to himself last night. To this end, he sets to work on what will surely be the first of many tasks for the day, though one which his mother would argue is the most important. Breakfast. Unpacking several jars and tins, each carrying a label Delia had lovingly written for her son, the Ravenhead boy starts on Weedle's meal, while also taking out a few things for his own breakfast, though those can come later. Though not everything the young son of Lumiose needs within these jars and tins, as the best base for a Pokémon's food is the nature in which it lives, in this case, the plants and berries of Route 5. Gathering a handful of each, Ash sets to work with a mortar and pestle, grinding them into a paste which he then mixes Delia's ingredients into, before rolling them out into pellets that he heats up in his small camp cook set. Due to lacking some of the amenities of the kitchen he'd trained in back home, these aren't quite the perfect cylinders he's used to, though at least they smell right, with Weedle evidently thinking so too, as when he brings it out, it happily chows down. Taking some quick notes both about Weedle's physiology and its food preference for his own reference down the line, the boy grins at it to eat up, since they have a big day ahead of them, so they're both going to need their strength. With that, he finally allows himself to eat, munching happily on his last few Lumiose galettes, since it would be a crime to let them go soft, even if it means he won't be able to ration them until he can get some more next time he's back home. And speaking of home, as he eats, Ash tells Weedle all about his, not just the city, but the lab, his parents, and Alan, since he wants his new friend to know and understand him, just as he wants to know and understand it. Being a good-natured little bug, Weedle happily listens, curling up against its new trainer's leg once it's finished its meal. And while Ash would very much enjoy spending the day regaling his new pal with stories like he sometimes would with the Pokémon back at the lab, they've got places to be, specifically Camphrere Town, which should only be a few more hours' walk from here. Turning his attention to packing up camp, Ash is pleasantly surprised to see that Weedle wants to help, even if it's only in small ways, like offering its string shot to bind the boy's sleeping bag so it fits easier in his pack. Not only that, but when the pair are ready to get back on the road, Weedle does not return to its ball, instead slithering up its trainer's arm and coming to rest on his shoulder with a comfortable assuredness that suggests both a level of innate trust and an outgoing nature akin to Ash's own. These traits only make Ash like the hairy bug Pokémon more, as he carefully hoists his pack onto the other shoulder as to not disturb Weedle, before setting off, though it seems the bug poison type will not be allowed to nap the entire way to town, as when Ash stops for a mid-morning break to catch his breath and refill his canteen, he decides to use this opportunity to test what Weedle can do. Unlike with Froakie, he does not do this by seeking out an opponent for the worm, instead choosing to put it through some more scientific tests, such as having it shoot its string shot between a pair of rocks to see how long a thread it can produce, and telling it to jab its poison stinger into a gnarled tree trunk so he can measure how deep it can get. To Weedle's credit, it delivers, showing off the best of its abilities, with the only downside being that as it stands, its abilities are somewhat limited, as it's definitely nowhere near the lost water starter in terms of combat power. Naturally, Ash takes note of this, his mind already churning through ways in which he can help his new partner to grow, so that it might actually achieve its full potential, though in doing so, he does not forget to praise Weedle for what it is already capable of, something the big-nosed bug evidently appreciates as it nuzzles him. As for a path towards improvement, specifically combat improvement, Ash approaches this the way his dad would, which means starting with first principles. Weedle is lacking in physical strength, which is in itself a measure of force. Therefore, he needs to think of a way to improve his poison bug's force output. Luckily, force is just a simple equation, F equals M times A, where M is mass and A is acceleration. At once, the issue of Weedle's lack of mass stands out to him, as while the species average is 3.2 kilos or 7.1 pounds, which is already pretty low, his observations of his new starter have led him to believe that it is smaller, possibly a juvenile specimen, probably weighing only 2.8 to 2.9 kilos. No matter, since that will change with growth, though it does mean the onus is on him to help it improve its acceleration, since that will benefit it both in the short term to help make up for what it lacks, and compound into even greater power as its other traits develop. To this end, when the time comes to get back on the road, he asks Weedle to race him to the next fork in the path, using this to assess how fast it can go, and how quickly it can build up momentum and acceleration. As it turns out, the answer is not very, since in spite of its 14 legs, it lacks the ability to truly sprint, with Ash's next test on a longer form run turning up similar results. This is a problem, since with no mass or acceleration, it has no force with which to fight. Though, fortunately, Ash does have something that can help here, his own out-of-the-box creativity. As while it is still largely unhoned, there is enough of it innate to him that he has an idea. Subsequently, when he next has Weedle start running, he tells it to fire a string shot at the ground a few feet ahead of it and then start reeling itself in. As he had hoped, this caused the little bug to be tugged forward with a burst of speed, and while at first Weedle is startled, after a few of these it begins to notice the rush of wind and actually comes to quite enjoy itself. Feeling proud of his partner, Ash then moves on to the next stage of his plan, coupling these little leaps with an attack, specifically Poison Sting, since he figures if his buddy can ram its horn harder and faster into an opponent, it'll do more damage and increase the chance of the poison getting into it. Unfortunately, this breakthrough does come at a cost, since to test the second part of this theory, a tree trunk simply won't cut it, meaning Ash himself has to be the target dummy, standing still as Weedle launches itself forward and stings him, before waiting to see if any nasty purple welts appear. To the hairy bug Pokemon's credit, it does show a rapid and marked improvement, with this being what Ash focuses on when the pain of poisoning gets to be too much, as he is sure to give it plenty of praise and allow it to take a rest on his shoulder when their travel training is done. Luckily, by now Camphora Town is within sight, meaning Ash does not have to suffer with his status condition for long, as his first stop is the Pokemart, where he purchases and immediately chugs an antidote, much to the shopkeeper's surprise. On the upside, this does cure his poisoning. On the down, it tastes terrible, with the boy making a face while the Pokemart employee tactfully reminds him that antidotes are meant to be applied topically. Figuring this must be why his tongue's suddenly so itchy, Ash thanks them and continues on his way, with he and Weedle stopping for lunch at a small patisserie before departing the city for the Riviere Walk, better known as Route 7. Just as with Route 5, the scenery is idyllic, as to their right a crystal clear river flows slowly to the ocean, allowing the afternoon light to turn its surface into a stream of turquoise and sapphires, while to their left is the berry fields, whose sweet smells waft over to them, causing Weedle to more than once slither down to Ash's elbow so it can be slightly close to the aroma. Even the night is warm and filled with fragrance, so that when Ash and his surrogate starter stop to make camp, they're able to sprawl out comfortably on the grass and watch the nocturnal Pokemon go about their evening without a care in the world. It is a beautiful experience, though a part of Ash is saddened by the fact he can't share it with Froakie, as in spite of their parting and the bond he is forming with his poison bug, he does still miss the water starter. Not only that, but he wishes he'd seen the warning signs sooner. If he had, maybe things would be different. That's why he has to keep being mindful in how he trains Weedle, since he refuses to suffer that same loss again due to his failings as a trainer. With this in mind, Ash continues working with Weedle on perfecting its string shot jumps, even if he no longer feels the need to make himself a target, so that much of the next day and the day that follows are spent increasing the speed and distance with which Weedle can launch itself, to the point where the black-haired boy starts to feel satisfied with the level of acceleration it's getting. The only thing that remains now is to conduct a practical test, and luckily for Ash and Weedle, one is about to present itself, as during the afternoon of their third day on Route 7, the pair find the road has been blocked by a landslide. Not only that, but according to the work crew tasked with clearing the rocks away, a wild Hawlucha has been attacking and harassing them every time they get close to the disaster zone, making it impossible for them to complete their job. Finding this behavior curious, Ash volunteers to take a look, with he and Weedle giving the fallen rocks a wide berth as they circle round to the south, in search of a vantage point they can use to get a better look at the situation. Fortunately, it does not take them long to find a tree with sturdy branches that can support their weight, with Ash climbing to the top the old-fashioned way, while Weedle uses this for a bit of extra string shot training. When they are perched comfortably on the top branch, trainer and Pokemon peer down at the area affected by the landslide. As the workers had said, an agitated-looking Hawlucha is there, though on closer inspection, this is not the only thing, as by watching the area it's pacing around, Ash spots a clutch of eggs nestled amongst the dirt and rocks. At once, the professor's son understands. This must have been where Hawlucha made its nest, and while it managed to survive the natural disaster, any excavation runs the risk of upsetting things again and bringing a ton of rocks down on the nest and the eggs inside. That's why it's working so hard to drive the humans away. Endeavoring to help in a way that both protects Hawlucha and its clutch while also clearing the road, Ash and Weedle begin shimmying down the tree, before gently leaping onto one of the rocks as to not disturb it. Then, once they are sure of their footing, Ash calls out to Hawlucha, his tone and gesture friendly, as he states that he's come to help. Unfortunately, this is about all he gets to say as a flying press to the gut sends him tumbling over the ledge, since after its recent interactions with the ignorant workers and the fear it has for its kids, Hawlucha is not about to take any chances with humans. Unfortunately, this attack on its friend immediately draws Weedle's ire as it lunges in for a poison sting, though being the faster of the pair, Helucha dodges this before retaliating with a karate chop that strikes the poison bug in the nose. If not for the fact that Weedle quad-resists fighting moves, this might have been lights out for the bug, though even still is enough to send it tumbling back like ash. However, unlike its trainer, it does not hit the ground, instead firing a string shot into another bit of rock, and using this to swing through the air and land softly a small distance away from Helucha. Seeing this, the wrestling Pokemon goes in the attack once more, this time with a super effective wing attack that will surely drive this bug away from its eggs, though having recovered himself by now, Ash urges his starter to flee into the tree line with another string shot. Having faith in the boy it has accepted as its trainer, Weedle does its bid, affixing gossamer threads to the trunks and branches of nearby trees, and then pulling itself towards them in a simulacrum of flight. Though Ash does offer advice as to where Weedle should swing from next, the hairy bug Pokemon doesn't really need it, as it seems they've finally found what its true strength is, an incredible amount of spatial and bodily kinesthetic intelligence, as it has no problem understanding the trajectories of its shots and swings as well as how its body will move through the air, so much so that it's actually able to stay one step ahead of the half-flying type who is intent on hunting it down. However, fleeing is not the entirety of Ash's plan, as once he is sure Weedle and by extension Helucha are far enough away from the landslide that it won't risk accidentally bringing the rocks down on the nest, the boy's partner land on a nearby branch and begin firing string shots back at Helucha. Having not expected this, the Luchador bird is caught off guard as sticky threads start matting up its wings and throwing off its gliding. Figuring it needs to remove these before they slow it down, Helucha uses Karate Chop again to slash at the globs, though this gives Ash just the sort of opening he'd been hoping for, as he has Weedle fire more string, this time binding the wild Pokemon's hands to its underarms, rendering them unusable. This leaves Weedle free to attack directly at last, as making use of its training with Ash, it launches its next string shot onto Helucha's back, then zooms into jab with a poison sting that is enough force to knock the fighting flyer out of the sky. Such a hit also leaves Helucha open to a follow-up, though instead of trying to inflict more damage, Ash simply has Weedle use string shot once again to tie its foe's feet together, ending the fight with minimal damage to Helucha. This is what the boy had been hoping for all along, as taking a seat across from it, he apologized for using what could be considered an underhanded tactic, though now he hopes it'll calm down enough to listen, since he and his partner really do want to help. From the look on Helucha's face, it is still suspicious, though being tied up, it has no choice but to listen as the raven-haired boy continues, explaining how it's now seen the proficiency with which his Weedle can use string shot. If Helucha will allow it, they'd like to try and use that skill to create a pulley system that will clear away some of the rocks blocking the road without bringing them down on the nest. That way the wrestling Pokemon and its family can keep their home, while people can resume traveling through the area safely. In spite of itself, Helucha can see that this is a good plan, and after witnessing Weedle's skill with string shot, one it can probably pull off, though it does still insist on being involved, since if something goes wrong, it will be able to swoop in and save its clutch. Recognizing this unspoken request through its stern gaze and having figured Helucha would have such condition, Ash agrees without hesitation, telling Weedle to cut the bindings with its horn before the three of them start heading back towards the nest. As promised, Ash and Weedle use the utmost care and thought as they plan the various places for the string shot to go, while Helucha helpfully carries them up into the air, then wraps them around the trunks and branches of trees that will serve as their levers. Even the construction workers help out once Ash vouches for them, though they are kept on the outside of the rock slide, being tasked with helping to pull on the pulleys once they're ready. Even with all their hard work combined, this still takes the rest of the day, for when twilight falls and Ash gives the order to pull, everyone is thoroughly exhausted. Nonetheless, there is no sluggishness as they begin this final crucial step, with everyone standing on tenterhooks as the first rock comes loose from the pile and starts rolling towards the ground, the second following not long after, and then a third. Soon, all the rocks directly blocking the route are tumbling down into the field thanks to the leverage created by the pulleys, though Ash and Helucha's eyes are not on the rocks or the road, but instead on the nest which has begun to shake slightly from the vibrations of the rolling boulders. Above it, a couple of rocks shake, looking as though they might collapse upon the helpless eggs, but then, just as soon as it started, it stops, signaling their plan was an unmitigated success. Letting out a cheer, Ash runs to celebrate with Weedle, the construction workers, and even Helucha, all of whom are delighted with this outcome. In particular, the construction boss is nothing but praise for the boy, since most trainers would have just captured Helucha or run it off, and those poor eggs would have been crushed, so he's really something special. Smiling happily, Ash replies that he just wanted to help, a sentiment Helucha finally believes, as it makes peace with both the workers and Weedle in an attempt to apologize for its previous hostility. As the one who helped clear the road, Ash is given the privilege privilege of being the first to traverse it, saying goodbye to the work crew and the flying fighter before continuing on with Weedle on his shoulder. In their jubilation at being able to resolve this problem, the pair find themselves with a second wind that allows them to carry on for a few more hours even after night has fallen, though eventually, the fatigue of the day does catch up with them, forcing them to make camp near the entrance to Connecting Cave, since this should give them some good shelter before they resume their journey tomorrow. Though, before they can truly rest, Ash does have to make dinner for himself and Weedle, since they are both understandably starving. To this end, he makes a large campfire and begins setting out his ingredients and equipment, though it seems he may have an unexpected dinner guest, as from the darkness, a man's voice speaks up, calling his handling of the rock slide situation very clever, though he supposes he should not be surprised considering he is the son of two highly regarded professors. A little unnerved by this, Ash asks the speaker to come out, and doing as bidden, the man steps forward so the campfire illuminates him. From a glance, Ash can see that he is tall and well-built, with the light of his fire causing the man's clearly bespoken, perfectly tailored suit to shimmer in a way that only the finest materials can. Yet, even that is not his most striking feature, for it is overshadowed by the wild red hair and beard reminiscent of a Pyro's mane, and a pair of piercing blue eyes that likewise carry the royal Pokemon's predatory presence. And that's where we'll leave things. Who is this newcomer approaching from out of the darkness? What does he want with Ash? And how will our young hero continue to use his scientific background to grow as a trainer? Find out as the journey continues.